Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace. I'm Brianna Larimer, and with me we got Ray Lyon and Dewey Thompson from Missouri Training Institute, and today we are talking about the power of influence. When we think about influencing others, how does that work? And why is it important? And, you know, Dewey, I think you talk a lot about influence. You've done a lot of trainings on it as well. So just tell me a little bit about why developing skills and influencing others is important as a leader and beyond.
Well, I think we have to realize that, you know, in order to get work done in an organization, we have to work with others effectively, right? And when we talk about influence, we often only look at it from a top-down perspective, right? I'm the boss. I call the shots. I get to bark a lot of orders at people. And then we wonder why everybody kind of rebels against you, right? You know, what we're really looking at here, though, is that influence can go all over the place, right? It can go up the chain of command just as easy. You can influence up the chain of command just as easy as you can influencing down the chain of command. Or we're doing so much work nowadays with different partners, right? People that aren't even within our organization, but maybe another organization we might be partnering with. So, or you need to influence customers. You need to influence stakeholders. You need to influence suppliers, vendors. I mean, whoever it is, a lot of work gets done through our ability to mobilize other people, to maybe help them think through a particular problem so we kind of arrive at a common solution. So we're not out doing different things. And so, influence is just one of those things that I think everybody needs in order to be, I think, a more effective worker, a more effective leader, and get more things accomplished.
Yeah. A lot of times you don't have the authority to make people do things you need them to do.
Right.
And so you just have to use your personal credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think influence, you know, the one thing with that, if you don't have that authority, is people's willingness to do the things you need them to do, right? To mm-hmm. kind of pick up your cause, so to speak, and do the things that you need them to do.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think this is another thing that people need to realize is that even if you are the boss, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to do exactly what you tell them to do. People are free to choose their own responses, right, in any given situation. And so, again, the need to be able to influence then people, boy, it sure can make things go a lot smoother.
Right.
We talk about the idea of credibility and how you might want to build that. But I think that there are many ways that you can build it. And one of those areas is your ethics, right? These are the values that you're going to live your life by. These are the guiding principles when you're faced with a tough decision. You know, which pathway will you go down? What are your ethics? What are your values? And so when we see people demonstrate, those principles, I'd say your granny probably always taught you about what success in life is, right? You know, justice, doing the right thing, you know, as opposed to doing the wrong thing intentionally. So I think there, you can start with your values. I think you can start with your integrity. You know, if you've ever worked for somebody who you saw as not having a high degree of integrity, I bet their ability to influence you was diminished. Right. But when you work with somebody who you see as being a person of integrity, then their ability to influence you probably grows a little bit more. Right. And so, you know, that's one way to look at building your credibility. But if we think about it, I think there's all kinds of ways you can build your credibility. I'm I like people who get results time and time and time again, right? So there are people that you can rely on. There are people that you can count on over and over again. So they're out there talking about the results that they're getting. They're not necessarily out there complaining about all their to-do lists. You know what I mean? So that might be another way to kind of build your credibility in some way. Another way is to remain competent and to remain abreast of trends and information and new things. You know, I like working with smart people. I don't like working with idiots, you know? And so the smart people, they probably have more influence with me over me. You know, if I don't see somebody as being intelligent or don't see somebody who has the competence to do something, then, you know, they probably lose, that credibility and that influence. Right. So, it's about some of those things that we have to be, I think, a little bit more intentional about. I'll say one more thing about that. I think people who demonstrate caring to me usually have a higher level of influence with me too, right? When I know that they truly, genuinely care about my well-being or my ability to get this job done in an appropriate time or whatever it may be, people who demonstrate caring, I think usually has a lot more influence with me. What are your thoughts? How do you all build your own credibility?
Well, I think you just described a perfect trust situation. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talked about competency and you talked about caring and you talked about character. So I definitely think there needs to be trust. And I think that comes from demonstrating your character and demonstrating the fact that you care for the people and that what you're asking them to do is actually, you know, for the good of the people. So I think that's important and that you do know what you're doing and that you're leading them or taking them to a better place. You know, that you're moving, you know, the needle, you know, from point A to point B, but it's in their best interest. Because I think, you know, as a leader, people have to feel comfortable, or what we know, you know, what we tend to be calling now kind of this psychological safety. You have to be creating this environment where people feel comfortable being themselves, right? Being themselves in this environment. And then you can lead them, mm-hmm. right? That they're willing to do what you're asking them to do, willingness. And I think that's such an important part of influence. Is that willingness to do what you're asking them to do. And sometimes you don't even have to ask them, right? That you have such influence over them that they're picking up the cause and leading the charge because they see the vision that you've created already. You know, sometimes there's opportunities where you don't have that authority. And so if we're speaking, you know, like employees that might be newer into an organization or even employees that are coming into a team that's already established.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if we're kind of on that credibility thing, I think sometimes there's maybe some patience that has to come in, you know, and you want to show your competence, you know, right away, and you want to weigh in on things, but it's not the right... You know, you've got to wait. And I think you have to demonstrate through action more than words. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to wait on your behaviors to show your competence. You have to ask good questions of the people that have gone there before you or that are already there. Like, how did they learn that? And so I think sometimes if you're not in a position or if you're new to a position, you have to be patient. Mm-hmm.
I got a perfect story to kind of illustrate that point, actually. So years ago, we had at MTI, a rather large grant from a government agency at the federal level, right? And this required us to go out across the nation and do some benchmarking of who was really doing well in this certain kind of government program, right? And what kind of innovative things were they doing? So we had to go around, collect this information. We had to disseminate it then back to everybody that kind of worked in this in this field, in this industry. So we hired a fresh, bright, smart young woman right out of college to kind of help us with this. And it was within her first 3 months of employment with us that we took her to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
To meet with the gentleman who kind of held the purse strings, right? This is the person who was kind of in charge of this big grant at the federal government level. And so this is going to be her first opportunity to meet the person with the purse strings, right? So this is a pretty large, large grant. So, and at the same time that this was all taking place, I'm going to date myself now, but this is at the same time when the internet really first started coming into, you know, more widespread applications and businesses and that kind of stuff. So it came point in this meeting to talk about how we were specifically going to disseminate this information. This bright young woman said, well, we need to get on the internet. This can be information that people can get 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And, you know, she was absolutely right. But she didn't really assess, I guess, who she was working with here. Who was this gentleman who, by the way, was, I think, maybe 3 months from retirement, probably didn't understand what the internet really was. You know, he wanted it done the old fashioned way. You know, you write up these big reports and you mail these big envelopes out to people that will actually probably never look at them. So she was absolutely right about it, about the strategy. There's no doubt about it. But this gentleman wasn't ready for it, right? She needed to be more patient, as you said, to kind of maybe learn who this person was, maybe learn their particular points of view before, because I bet there was a way, right, to satisfy not only his need, but also to maybe update this into the world and the internet, right? This information. So there was possibly, I'm sure there was a way that we could have accomplished both, but she wouldn't let it go in this meeting. And she just kept, you know, her voice got a little bit louder. And after a while, our boss at the time said, well, we need to take a break. And he went out and said, okay, now I want you to be quiet for the rest of the meeting. Okay. Yeah. Because this was the person with the purse strings, right? This is the person who really does get to call the shots on this contract. So it just kind of illustrates your point.
Right. You know, something else that I was thinking about as you were telling that it was the right answer. Right. It wasn't the right person who proposed the answer, or it wasn't the right way that the answer was proposed. So sometimes even leveraging an advocate, you know, somebody or an opinion leader, you know, what if this answer, which was absolutely correct, would have come from somebody that, you know, the owner of the purse strings maybe respected a different way, you know, and so really thinking about those relationships, you know, would have been the same answer, but it would have been coming from somebody more his age, you know, as opposed to this young whippersnapper,
well,
you know.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that that's kind of what she got labeled as.
Right.
You know, and because she was right. But it's not just what you're doing right. It's also how you do this.
Exactly.
How you work with other people to really move the needle, to really accomplish a common goal.
Right.
I think when we think about this idea of influencing others, you know, it's got to be kind of a what's in it for me approach, too, when you think about who you're trying to influence. So everybody at different levels are going to have different things that speak to them. But when you think about trying to maybe influence up as opposed to, you know, influencing down, thinking about, well, I know that my leadership is concerned with money, with budgets, with numbers, you know, and so how do you speak that language? What's in it for them? How do you make sure that whatever it is you're trying to present or the idea, how is it is short and sweet to the point and speaks to those certain variables? You know, if you're talking to customers, what's important to them? What's in it for them? And how can you communicate that? And I think you're absolutely right in the sense that you have to know a little bit more about the people you're trying to influence. And it can't just be kind of a one-way approach with influencing. And I think that all too many times we come out thinking that, you know, I build up my credibility, I'll be able to influence across the board. You still have to be able to identify the particular parties
Boy, I think you've nailed it. I think you've absolutely nailed it. And, you know, we call that kind of their currency.
Right.
You know, if you're speaking to the leadership and you know that their currency is actual currency, right? That if they are, you know, give it to me short and sweet, and because time is an issue for your leadership, give it to me direct and show me the numbers, mm-hmm. right? That's how you report it. If you take that same information, though, and you're trying to influence a different group, mm-hmm. they're going to have a different currency. Right. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to maybe pull on their heartstrings, not their purse strings. So how are you going to frame the message in their currency? You're absolutely right, Brianna.
It comes back to messaging. I think a lot with influence, I mean, beyond credibility, because, you know, for someone, you know, young and out of college and trying to get out there, sometimes it can take time to build up credibility. So it is really looking at who is it that you're trying to influence. And how, I like the word currency. How do you speak their currency and be able to build that credibility you're seeking through looking at what their eyes and what they need. So you have to be able to kind of take a step back, put yourself aside and think about what is in it for the other person. What is it that they need? What would they like to see or to hear from you as well?
Yeah. You know, I think relationships are really important here mm-hmm. because you can be the smartest person
That's right.
at the table and still not be able to influence people.
That's right. That's right. You might be the smartest person, but if you don't have the ability to connect with people, if you don't have the ability to empathize with others, to understand what their currencies are, then you're absolutely correct. You could be the smartest person in the room and still not be able to budge the needle.
Right. So I think that's important. It's important to establish those relationships, honestly, first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is. Yeah, you're right, Brianna, before you even need them, and not in a manipulative way. I think people can see through that. Mm-hmm. I think they need to be genuine. I think you need to, you know, mm-hmm. who these people are genuinely and care about these people. And you need to be doing things for others in order to know what their currency of exchange is mm-hmm. and know what's important to them. And long before you need to pull that card and ask them to do anything for you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about my old boss, the old director at the Missouri Train Institute, his ability to kind of know my currencies and my ability to know his, right? Because I think that's what made our relationship so good. And we respected one another so well is because we understood that about one another. You know, at the time I was a single dad, had my daughter every other week. He knew that that was my important time. He knew that that's what I really valued a lot. So in that job at the time, I was expected to travel, you know, 3 and 4 days a week. And that's hard to be a single dad when you're on the road, right? So those weeks that I had my daughter, he made sure that I was closer to home. I could get where I needed to go and get back in the same day, mm-hmm. right? To be able to pick her up from school. On those weeks that I didn't have her, though, boy, I could be all over the state. You know, I could take the whole week and travel right. from, you know, the Boot Hill up to Northwest Missouri all in the same day. So it's about understanding those, right? Yes. And being able to work with that. You know, I think there's some other things, though, that I would like to mention about ways to influence people. One is, I think one of the best things that we could do is to ask really good questions.
Yes.
If you take a particular situation, especially if you don't have a lot of authority in it, right? You're not the one calling the shots. But if you take a look at a situation and carefully analyze it, right? And you start to ask really good questions that help people think about that situation, don't tell me you're not being able to influence them. You know, you're doing the homework, you're asking yourselves that question, and now you're posing that question, those really good questions to somebody who may not have thought about those things before, right? And now you're causing them to think about it. So I think asking really, really good questions is a great way to influence folks.
I think that's another element. You know, you're talking earlier about really trying to get to know your audience, if you will, or know the person you're trying or group you're trying to influence. maybe you don't have that luxury. Maybe this is a new group of people and you have to use the questioning process, but we can still be intentional about how we use those good questions. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, think about the words that you're using when it comes to those particular questions. We have to be cognizant of that. So even if you're not able to kind of get all warm and fuzzy with the people you're trying to influence, consider though using the questioning process, but doing it in a way in which they would be receptive to. What is their language then that they'd like to hear? How would they like it presented? Would they like it in a PowerPoint? Would they like a phone call? Would they like a text message? You know, you need to think about what works for the other person. And that's where it's really hard, I think, to step outside of our own comfort zone sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And that's a way to show presence while showing patience, mm-hmm. you know, especially for the younger professional that might be wanting to get in there and, you know, like, look at me, mm-hmm. But not knowing how, mm-hmm. you know, and potentially asking those really smart questions, but knowing when is it enough? And then when is it time to sit back and watch and pay attention and look for the opinion leaders, look for the thought leaders and align yourself with those people. And honestly, I'm here to tell you, stay away from the toxic ones, mm-hmm. because just like any group ever, there are good groups to get involved with and there are not good groups to get involved with in organizations. And, you know, you're known by the company you keep. And I hate to say it, but humans are still humans forever and ever. And so pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, again, that goes back, if you're wanting to grow your influence, it starts with building your character, right? It starts with building your, knowing who you are and making sure that you're demonstrating that over and over again. So, yeah.
You know, I have to tell a quick story because one of my, and I'm going to tout my cousin here for a second. You're talking about this idea. She's just fresh out of college. She just got her first accounting job. And she got pulled. She's still shadowing one of the senior accountants there. She got pulled to go to this big farm in, I believe it was North Missouri. And it was to talk to this farmer. She gets out there and this farmer had brought out all of these other accountants, literally lined them all up for this meeting. And so my cousin, again, just kind of being the understudy to the senior accountant there, she had done research before and she just kind of knew a little bit about the farmlands and the areas and the different types of loans and stuff that were available and the federal government stuff, all of that. She had done her research. She had zero credibility. She's literally coming in there as an understudy. And we get in there and she was able to use knowledge that she had. The farmer asked about the cattle, you know, that he had. And she goes, oh, yeah, those are so-and-so cattle. None of the other accountants could answer that. You know, and she was able to go in. He goes, I want to talk to you. So she goes in and she starts talking to him about some of these things she'd read, you know, had researched on. And she made a difference. Yep. She made a difference for her senior accountant. They got the client. And then he asked her to milk his cow. So that was another thing for her little feather in her hat there. But
I bet that grew her influence too when she did that.
It did.
Right?
They went back. She went, her senior accountant went back and told the whole organization. And so Maddie milking a cow was like the, you know, and getting the client was the talk of the, probably the month for that.
Right.
But what I love about that story, Brianna, is that she had the foresight, right, to go do her homework, right? She had the foresight to maybe even ask herself some of those questions. What would this person mm-hmm. be thinking about this? What could their possible reaction might be to this particular situation or this particular subject? So she's done her research, right? So she was prepared to go in there and to communicate in an effective way that was aligned to his or her currencies, that farmer's
Absolutely.
Currencies.
And what was interesting, though, is that she actually went in with the intention of not speaking at all. She just wanted to have the knowledge in case she needed to help her senior accountant in anything, and more for the influence with her senior accountant. But then ended up, you know, being able to do this with this, get this client. And I think that that's so telling. You talk about kind of being, you know, a go-getter and wanting to go in there and just deliver all this knowledge if you've done the research on it and think that that's what builds your credibility, when sometimes it's being quiet. mm-hmm. you know, and being able to really listen and then use information, to present it when it's necessary, right. not to go in, you know, guns blazing, I guess, with information.
Absolutely. There's power in silence.
Mm-hmm. There can be. Yeah, absolutely.
So overall, I just want to, I guess I'll ask both of you as we kind of wrap up here. Is there any other things on influence that we want our listeners to hear about?
I you know, I think there's, you can go for compliance, mm-hmm. you know, with your authority, as Dewey kind of started the top of the podcast off with. And that's just asking people out of your, you know, flash the badge kind of thing. But I would always welcome commitment over compliance. And so building your influence to me is important from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I would say about the idea of influence is that, again, it can go, it's about influencing people, right? So it's not so much about these different levels of the hierarchy of a particular organization. It's the ability really to recognize that you're going to need to influence people up, down, and across the chain of command. And that kind of starts with, first of all, getting yourself in order and building your credibility, and then really understanding those currencies and understanding their particular needs, right? So I would encourage our listeners to kind of focus on those two things to start with.
Well, build relationships first.
Well, you know what I mean. That's understanding those currencies. That's
and
what
then,
that
okay.
All right. Well, we appreciate you all tuning in today. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Weekly Workplace. Hope you all have a great rest of your week.
Go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.